Welcome to Girl Power History.
My name is Brianna Puro.
And I'm Alexa Kantos.
And welcome.
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 This is going to be a really weird episode. I can already tell.
It's me.
I think we both have weird energy. And we've both had a couple weird weeks.
Well, you know, I'm all right with it. I'm back in Chicago. I'm still in Chicago. I'm just not physically with Alexa right now because she's outside of where I am. But
I'm not in the cool zone.
Yeah,
I'm out in the burbs.
I didn't want to say that. Like you said it, but.
I'll say it.
And let's see.
She's in the West Loop where it's hot.
It is hot today.
It is hot.
Have you walked outside?
Oh, I just did. And I was like, wow, I'm not doing this today.
Holy crap. I was sweating walking a dog at 8 in the morning.
Yep.
8 in the morning, just dripping sweat.
Yep.
It is thick.
This is what I was telling you about when you were in Washington. Like it's just disgusting.
Yeah. This is not like Washington does not have humidity and I don't even want to work out here. Like there's nothing in me that's like, oh, let's go for a run.
No.
Like, no.
You just walk outside and like your soul immediately tries to like leave your body because it's the heat and there's no air. There's no air with it.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like this is like kind of a little bit what the sun would feel like, even though it's like a gas giant, but I don't know. I'm just going to pretend.
You wouldn't feel anything.
That's true.
You would just burn.
That's true.
In a millisecond.
But I'm going to think that's what it would feel like.
Got it. So.
Oh my God. So how was your weekend?
Oh my gosh. I just love the city life. Me in Chicago. I actually love I love being back home. And two, I love being in the city. And it's just been so nice. I really didn't do that much this weekend, minus my awesome Sunday fun day with you.
We had a day.
Fan band. Yeah. We went to Shedd Aquarium. Shout out to Chicago Shedd Aquarium. It is so cool. It's so big. It's like you need to take a snack break, though.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot.
We really powered through it.
Yeah, because I just wanted to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, I was like dragging your girls, like, let's see all of this,
yep.
And then we'll go see the cool stuff.
Yep.
So it was really cool, though. The dolphins were cool.
Mm-hmm.
The beluga whales.
Mm-hmm.
The Amazon exhibit, way cooler than I was expecting.
Yeah, no, that one's always good.
Yeah.
The
part you showed me that spider, though.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
I am still cringing about that giant spider.
Well, I'm just saying you said that they were way bigger than they were.
That was huge.
Yeah, but
it was a baseball as the butt of
I feel
that
like you were envisioning like a basketball, and I just wanted to point out.
No, spiders are my kryptonite. I do not do that.
I don't like them in my room, and I used to be really afraid of spiders, but I just kind of don't care anymore. I'm down here with spiders right now, and most of them I leave unless they're like up in my business. Like they have my basement windows. They have their little creepy like webs and their flies that they catch and mummify, and I'm like, cool, just stay over there.
Gross. You can have your spider friends, and I am never going into your basement ever again. Good to know. Thank you.
We have an understanding. If they walk out of that area, one time I was using my elliptical machine because I have a gym down here too, and one started crawling above my head, and I'm like, "That's it, buddy. You walked outside of your territory," and I got him.
That's funny. Yeah, but it was fun. Sunday was a blast. Being home is really nice. So it's been good. It's been good. How was your weekend?
Good. Sunday was a day.
Sunday was a day.
I had fun. Thank you for treating us.
Gin and tonics, man.
Those we had so the gin. Good. Those were amazing. Actually, I'm going to go buy that gin today. John found it.
Sevilla Orange Tanqueray Gin.
Yep.
If you've never had it, you want to feel a little spicy in your life. It's not like spicy. I'm saying spicy as in like different. That's my definition.
Spice up your
G&Ts. Yeah. We don't promote that here, but sometimes it's fun to have a few cocktails.
Yes.
So anyways,
you want to get into your
let's do this.
Nightmare.
I'm excited about this story. I just feel that I wanted more information about her, and I had a very difficult time finding everything about her life, but still really cool. So today we are going to be talking about the first female tattoo artist in America.
Oh, this is cool.
Yes. From the girl who has zero tattoos, telling the story to the girl who has
a tattoo appointment next week.
9, 10 tattoos.
I have 10 tattoos.
How many do you have? 9? 8?
1, 2, 3.
Enough to have to count.
4, 5. I only have 5.
Are you sure?
One of them's large.
Oh, all right.
In charge. And about to be larger.
I'm large. Never mind. I'm not gonna get on that ground. I don't want to sing you another song. You can just use the one last week on repeat.
We can only afford one song per. We're gonna have artists coming after us everywhere.
So her name is Maud Wagner. Maud.
I love the name Maud. Cool. I want to meet a baby named Maud. I just feel like I would walk up to her and she would just like tell me the business, and I'd be like, "You're 6 months old," but I'm like, "But I trust you." Because your name's Maud.
Pretty much. And Maud was from Kansas.
Kansas.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
So she was born in 1877. Maud grew up in a lower income area, which I guess in 1877 in Kansas. I don't know what that would be like, but it was not a great area. She ran away from her situation in her home life as a teenager, and she literally ran away to join the circus.
I love that.
I found that fascinating. So she became very talented in twisting her body into weird shapes.
A contortionist.
Yes. And flying in the sky. And doing acrobatic things. Aerialist?
Acrobatics?
No.
Aerial acrobatics?
Yeah. So the term for it is aerialist.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, so she would be on the bars flying and like going everywhere in the sky. I couldn't find any images of her as a contortionist, and I mostly wanted to find those because I was just curious, but I don't know.
You can picture something in your head.
Yeah. So, but she is like super tiny and super skinny, and the later pictures in her life, like fully tattooed. So her entire body is tattooed, which is crazy for that time. She lived in, you know, she lived a better life with the circus than she did at home because she said that she was in poverty and she was dying of boredom. But while she was in the circus, she got introduced to Gus Wagner, who was known as kind of a bad boy, I guess, at that time, because Gus. He was like
I love these names.
I know, Gus and Maude. Because he was like completely tattooed, and he was a tattoo artist himself. And at the time, Gus was gaining a lot of traction for being known as a talented tattoo artist. Maude was interested in him. Gus, they caught each other's eye. Love at first sight, I guess, if you will. At this point, Maude had zero tattoos. But Gus just found something he liked about her. Like, I don't know if it was – I feel like if I was a tattoo artist, I would, like, look at people as, like, my canvas. And I would be like –
canvas.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be, like, super creepy and just be, like, looking people up and down and be like, ooh, that would look good on you. But anyway, so I imagine Gus looking at her like, oh, yeah, baby, I want to tattoo that body. And her looking at him being like, yeah, I like that. Like, that's what I imagine in my head. But anyways, he asked to go on a date with her. And her one request with saying yes to the date was that he had
to go to the circus.
No, they were already in the circus together.
Yeah, but they were. It wouldn't be cool to go to the circus for their first date.
Yes. You're like, come on, we already know everybody here. This is where we work, bro.
I've seen this one.
I do that one so much better than she does. Anyways, so her one request was that he would teach her how to tattoo. So, like, she was like, I want to learn how to tattoo. She was very interested in it. So that was, like, her one request on going on a date with him. So she agreed. He gave her tattoo lessons. Through this encounter, the two became close and fell in love, and Maude became the first woman to learn and master the traditional hand poke tattoo method. So this is very specific tattooing.
Yep.
Because this was way before machines or anything got introduced, and she and her husband never ever used an electric machine to tattoo. She was the like one of the only people left for a long period of time that did hand poke tattoo method.
Wow.
So. And as you can tell by the name, it's literally taking a needle, putting it in dye, and poking your skin to make a tattoo.
Yep.
Like in prison.
Or Moana.
What?
There's that part in Moana when they're singing the song and then that guy is like screaming and she's like holding his hand while he's getting like the hand poke tattoo. It's in the beginning.
She has kids.
Can I also just say that I feel like for agreeing to go on a first date, like it's a pretty tall order to be like, okay, I'll go on a date with you, but I need you to teach me like tattoo artists. That's like now being like, fine, I'll date you, but I want you to teach me real estate.
Or stocks. So she always did the traditional hand poke tattoo method. And she, like till the day she died, she never used the electric machine, which I find crazy. She died in 1961. So there was plenty of time to use that. I know she lived a long life, 1877 to 1961.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually Maude and Gus left the circus life to tattoo and travel the country full time. So when they were working at the circus, Gus and her were both tattooing on the side at the circus, and they averaged about, it was like $200 a week from just tattooing, which equates to like $2,000 a week in today's like money.
Wow.
So they were making a ton of money in like a lucrative setting.
That's really
and
awesome.
It was, I read a lot of articles about like how tattoos started and just kind of educating myself on this, but it was very like before it got to the point of being like, I feel like there was a time and a period where it was like taboo to have tattoos. Taboo. Tattoos. Anyways, it was like looked down upon to have tattoos for quite a few years, I feel like, even when we were like growing up. Like it got, I feel like it's to a point now, especially in our society, like in Seattle or Chicago, where like you can be a salesperson and have like tattoos, or you can be in the corporate setting or be a lawyer. And like, as long as they're not your face and neck, I think you're good. You know?
I think I feel like just recently it's finally switched, and I noticed it mostly, like I noticed people, you know, like, yeah, you can, you know, do this job and everything if you have tattoos, don't really care anymore. But now the fact that I'm starting to see models in advertisements with tattoos.
That is true.
That's like the biggest thing I've noticed, like within the past year. And like everything that I look at, like a model will have a tattoo and I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So the craziest part that like what I read is women, like high society, is actually what kind of catapulted tattoo artists, because they would get tattoos, and like women of like a high status would have several tattoos, but they would all be covered up because they wore so much clothing. So it was, there was a statistic that it was like 70% of like high society had tattoos at one point.
That's interesting.
Like, yeah. And like, if you could afford bigger ones, you would get bigger ones. And then if you like couldn't afford, they would have like smaller ones. And that was like a secret, but it was also like a status, I guess, too.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So, and then it also, there was a, an article of, I forget who it was, if it was a someone in British family, like a prince or something, he had two tattoos on both of his arms, but there was never like pictures of it. But he wrote about having like a snake on one arm and then like another long, like another animal tattoo on the other arm. And this was like way back in the day, like during like the early 1900s. Hmm. So it's like a prince had tattoos, but I digress. So it was like, it started as being this high society thing where it was, you know, a cool thing, a secret thing that women would get, men would get. And then it took this twist that like there was a lot of like sailors getting them or people in prison getting them. And then they were started to like look down upon. So like the evolution of tattooing went from being like this thing that only like high society could afford, and then it went to like the lower class essentially. Mm-hmm. And then once it hit there, then the high society stopped getting it. So then it dropped, like the percentage of people who would get tattoos was like 20% of that like status. So it kind of went like, it goes through like this wave, and now I feel like we're at a wave where it's accepted.
Yeah. Definitely.
So eventually, Maud and Gus left the circus life to tattoo and travel across the country full time. Aside from being the first female tattoo artist in America, Maud is also credited with playing a pivotal role in bringing tattoo inland and helping to spread the art form of a wider audience. She and her husband Gus passed tattooing on to their daughter, Lavetta, who was trained in the practice as early as 9 years old.
What?
And went on to become a successful tattoo artist herself. Although Maud approved of her daughter tattooing, she made Gus promise that he would never tattoo her, and Maud wouldn't either. This made their daughter, Lavetta, one of the few tattoo artists in existence who never had a tattoo themselves.
Wow. So even like when she got older, she didn't have a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right.
Yep. Maud was famous for her, they call it like typical of the period or patriotic tattoos. So it was like tattoos of monkeys and butterflies, lions, horses, snakes, trees, women. Maud also reportedly had her own name tattoo on her left arm. Tattooed women were a regular occurrence in the circus, but when they were outside of the circus, having her body permanently tattooed was somewhat of a spectacle, which I could see, like, you walking down the street and having, like, a million tattoos on your body.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a lot different during that time, especially since society was saying that, like, they needed to be covered up. So a lot of the tattoos that they ended up giving, they would either go into, like, the houses of their their customers, or the customers would come to their house, since it was still not, like, accepted. As society's norms, they were never able to have, like, a tattoo studio.
I kind of like that right now. I wonder where I'd get a tattoo done in my house, though. But then you don't get, like, the smell. Like, the smell of a tattoo parlor. Oh my God, it smells so good. I think it's because I like smelling clean things.
I don't like that.
Smelling clean things?
No, just that smell of the tattoo. So Gus's nickname was Tattoo Gobbler Trotter.
Okay.
Don't know why. Gus had nearly 300 tattoos. He claimed to be the most artistically marked up man in America. Over the course of his life, Gus Wagner would collect some of 800 tattoos across his entire body.
That's a lot. I mean, those have to be a lot of really small tattoos, though.
Yeah, I don't really know.
This is my dot, and this is my semicolon, and this is a decimal point.
Yeah, that is a lot of tattoos. I couldn't even imagine getting that many tattoos. The flare of tattoo popularity ended around 1936, which is where newspapers started drumming up the warning about tattoos and how they can cause diseases, and they were done at home, which makes sense why they were getting infected so much. But there was also, like, talk about how, like, the needles were being used over and over, and how it was just a not healthy way to get ink on your body. So from before, it was like 70% of the population had tattoos. And then in 1936, it estimated that only 6% of Americans were getting tattoos. So it dropped down significantly.
Wow, that's a big drop.
Yes. But if you wanted to get a tattoo, Gus and Maude could help. They were the couple that would get you the tattoo. Like, they were the people to go to. The circus colleagues and circus audience would, like, connect them with clients. During, like, one of the circus seasons, I guess you'll call it, they were estimated to have inked over 1,900 people in just a few months.
Wow. That's crazy.
So they did work.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did work. So in an interview with the Dallas Morning News, their daughter Lavetta recalled that most of their parents' customers wanted tattoos of their pet dogs, cats, lover's heart, butterflies, or birds.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. It's nothing, like, too dark. You know? I want a skull. I feel like they always did, like, happy stuff back then. At least these two did.
You can have a happy skull, Brianna.
The daughter also said that just her father was making as much as a bank president at the fair was, just on tattoos. So, like, the president of the bank for the fair, he was probably making a significant amount. He was making the same, if not more, just on tattooing for a few months. So Maude and Gus lived in Kansas still. That's where their home base was from, you know, traveling with the circus and traveling to tattoo people. But they would always come back to, like, their home base, which was Kansas. And the neighbors, the clothing that they wore really, like, didn't show a lot of their tattoos, even though he had 800. So even their neighbors didn't really know how they looked, essentially. Mm-hmm. But they knew from like what he did at the circus and stuff. And that's how they like found out that he had tattoos, and they were called like the circus freaks that lived next door. But it wasn't because of their tattoos, and they would get away with like walking in. Gus could fit into like pretty much anywhere because of the clothing that he wore. So mm-hmm. it's that I found kind of interesting, because his face wasn't ever tattooed, which I feel like that's kind of like where you.
And he still had 800 tattoos and his face. Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So Gus ended up dying in 1941, which he lived a very unconventional life. And of course, he has to die in an unconventional way, which is getting struck by lightning.
All right. Makes sense.
So their daughter carried the tradition, and Maud and her daughter would continue to tattoo for several years together. Maud died 20 years after her husband died. So overall, Maud broke some really important boundaries in her early 20th century. Not only did she become the first female tattoo artist in the United States, but she also covered her own skin with tattoos, taking ownership of her own body at a time where women couldn't even vote. Which I find that sentence so empowering, because she transformed who she was. And, you know, tattoos weren't illegal, but they weren't looked great upon, but she still like took ownership of who she was, which women couldn't do that then.
Yeah, that's really an interesting perspective of just like having my body, my choice.
Yeah. That is another way. Yeah. So Maud is also part of the larger trending involving women and tattoos. In American women or modern times, it's about 23% of women are more likely to have tattoos or get tattoos versus men being 19%, which I found that interesting.
Interesting.
Yes. And then it's also like a... It was said that there's other reasons why more women get tattoos, because it's like a secret history of women and tattooing. And there's this like feminist empowerment movement to like for women to have tattoos, especially in like the modern day, kind of bringing back that like, you know, my body, my choice. So, you know, tattoos appear to complement women and empower women now versus back then, where it was more of like an art form, I guess. Mm-hmm. We have more like freedom of speech. Since Wagner was such a trailblazer in the world of tattoos, there's no doubt that she helped pave the way for the modern women to take leaps and bounds with tattoo artists, and again, with taking your own ideas and making them into tattoos. So that is my story. I just thought she was fascinating. She is like, she's so pretty. And her face was never tattooed. It's the neck down.
Okay.
And she doesn't have her hand, so it's just like to the sleeve. Mm-hmm. But there's just like her tattoos. It's a lot of animals. There's like, you know, butterflies and... It's just, it's so cool. I just find her style, like, just really fun. Like, she would totally fit in today, like, walking around, like, downtown Seattle or Portland or, like, I feel like she wouldn't even get looked at twice. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, yeah. I can't wait for you guys to, like, see a picture of her. And she has, like, dark brunette hair with, like, these beautiful thick eyebrows and, yeah, it's like a pointy nose, and she just looks so cool. And she's so petite and little. And Gus was such a huge man as well.
Oh,
so
really?
I'll show you pictures of them both together as well. So I need to look up her daughter, because I want to see, you know, what she looks like today. I bet she's still alive. Maybe.
I don't know.
So
good story.
Yeah. Short, sweet, you know, something different.
I also think it's really important to bring up avenues like this, like tattoo artistry and how women impacted them, because there's a lot of misconceptions, especially with something like tattoo artists, where it seems like it's such a male-dominated, you know, area, and it really isn't, and it never was. And I think it's just like another misconception of history.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
and it's like, again, there's so many women I can't wait to talk about, but this I thought was kind of just a fun, easy story. I was going to go into some really deep shit, and I was like, I'm just not there today. I'm not there. So this I felt like it's just a cool story. Like, it's just cool to have women be part of women are part of everything. Like, we're involved in so many different things, even if it's like a male-dominated industry like tattoo artists. Like, it's just – it's so cool.
Do you know if it is, though?
Tattoo artists?
Yeah. Like, currently?
So, I know that there are, like, several, like, fully ran women tattoo parlors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still more male-dominated.
Interesting.
As in, like, the artist. Even though women are more likely to get a tattoo. But there's like a big movement. So I'm reading an article and it just says that in 2019, there's been a big movement into having all female tattoo artists, like shops. And
well, I can definitely still see why that's like more comfortable. I go to one that's just all women. And my first tattoo like forever ago was a woman tattoo artist. And my husband has tattoos and he's only ever gone to one tattoo artist who also happens to be female. But I think that's just really interesting.
Yeah. So this article states that it's 71.3% are male tattoo artists, where there's about 25% women, which that math doesn't really make sense. So
yeah, it doesn't.
There's maybe it's people who don't want to be one or the other. So, yeah. So the statistics of the United States, there's 7,340 tattoo artists currently employed. 25% of all tattoo artists are women, while only 71.3% are men. The average age of an employed tattoo artist is 41 years old, and 66% are white, 13% are Hispanic or Latino, and 12% are Black or African American.
Interesting.
Yeah. And also the majority of tattoo artists are located in New York and Texas. Houston, Texas.
Houston?
Yeah.
I could see New York.
Yeah, New York, New York.
And I also sort of figured that it'd be more like on like the coastline of the country.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was going to be like east or west Portland. I feel like Portland or Seattle would have been like major.
Oh yeah, definitely Portland. I also feel like, I don't know why at all, but it seems like the coast, like coastlines of like our country are like where more trends. I don't know if people are like more open to trying things.
Trendy.
Well, just see, like even like New York, you know, California, Portland, like any of those, like there's just.
I love my Midwest people. My goodness.
But it's just like interesting that because like there's no reason that I can think of like behind it.
No. No, I don't know. But this is really cool, though. So in 2021, women earned 96% of what men earned. So that's like super close to being like almost identical for pay grade. Like,
yeah,
that's amazing. So that's props to the tattoo industry for having like equal pay, essentially.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Even though it's 25% of women, like, or I mean, that's still pretty good. Like, I mean, it's especially since it's been so male dominated for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really cool. So thank you, Maude, for setting the trends, and just so cool to know who, like, the first woman tattoo artist and who got paid for it. Like,
yeah, she that's got awesome.
A good amount of money doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So,
cool.
That's
great job.
My story.
Are we doing girl crushes?
Are you?
Do you have
one? Are you girl crushing?
It's just my girl crush this week is Jennifer Lopez's forehead. It's phenomenal. But also, I started watching 9 Perfect Strangers, which is starring Nicole Kidman. And she plays this like guru at a wellness retreat center. And she is just phenomenal in it. The character is crazy. I heard she was in character the entire shoot, so 6 months. And she just does an amazing job. And she is also executive producer on the show, which means that she does have a little bit of say in how these shows work. The show is based off a book by Leanne Moriarty, who also did Big Little Lies, which was also a phenomenal show. And this time, Nicole Kidman's serving as executive producer. And I was reading an article this morning about her basically helping to get one of the characters who is a lesser known actor cast in the show, because apparently the financial side of the show did not wanted to have like more well-known actors. And I just think it's really awesome that someone who is well-known and as established as Nicole Kidman in, you know, the talent industry and still, you know, trying to get lesser known actors, you know, their credit in, you know, larger productions, even though they're not, you know, as, you know, don't have as many credits and stuff, like, but they still have the talent, they can still like get in the door. And I think that's just a really important precedent to set for, you know, that industry. Like, it's not just like how popular you are. It's like what talent you bring to the table and if you're right for that character. And I think that that's just like a way that I hope that industry is moving towards. And I'm glad that bigger names like Nicole Kidman are there to facilitate that.
Yeah, it's really cool when women get involved on like the production side. Also just shows like they can literally do anything. Heyo, we can do it all. So my girl crush, I feel like should be your girl crush, and I might talk about it just a tiny bit and you can probably just bring it home. So, Sofia Vergara, she opened up about having thyroid cancer when she was 28, and she just kind of like talked about it and talked about like educating people on what thyroid cancer is and what like any thyroid disease is. And I just find that like she, you know, was diagnosed when and talks about like her openly talks about like how she, you know, the process of it and what happened to her after she, you know, had her cancer removed. And I also find like thyroid disease is not talked about, and it just messes with so much of your hormones, and I feel like everybody, like it runs pretty rapid in our family, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people have thyroid imbalances in our family. So just having just education out there about what it is or how to make sure you don't have any issues like that. I feel like thyroid checks should be done as like breast cancer checks as well.
Yeah.
Like it's very easy. Like if you have a lump on your neck, get it checked out. If you have a lump on your boob, get it checked out. Mm-hmm. So she just had a great interview on Today. And I think it was yesterday that she talked about it. So it
you have to
today,
send me it.
But it was on Today. Yeah.
I did not know that she had thyroid cancer.
Yeah. So it really hasn't been talked about, but now she had it several years ago, but which I kind of find as well interesting that this has been, you know, she's in her 40s, I think. So, you know, 15 years ago, that it happened to her and she went through it, but she never brought it up to anybody because that's like, she doesn't want to be known as that. And that's kind of sucks. Like, she's educating people now, which is fantastic, but it's also, you know, you want to keep things private because you don't want to be known as the person who had thyroid cancer, right? Yeah. So, that was really cool. And I don't know. Do you want to say anything about that?
I think that any thyroid issue, whether it's cancer, whether it's Graves' disease or Kawasaki disease, like any of it, I think needs to just be acknowledged more as like in how serious it is, because, you know, your thyroid and your endocrine system, it essentially controls all the hormones in your body. Yeah. And that's a big freaking deal. And to not, you know, not have it be as talked about or like how it impacts your life, it's sad. And that's something that I've always wanted to do in my life, is to just like bring up like how much it can change your life. And I mean, I had Graves' disease when I was in middle school, so I had it when I was also going through puberty. So it was extremely difficult. And like thyroid disease is also scary because, I mean, it's the cancer word. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people are able to get the surgery and have that resolved. But even, I mean, when I was getting, you know, all my tests done, when they realized that I was imbalanced, you know, being 13 and being like, well, if you're going to have cancer, it's going to be thyroid cancer because it's the most treatable. Like, it's still that word. And that's a scary thing. And even after that, like, you spend your entire life just trying to find balance. I'm extremely lucky now that I have been on like the same amount of medication, but I mean, it's something that I have to take for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but I think just getting educated on different things like that, you one, have understanding of anything that can be going on in mm-hmm. someone's life. And two, I think just being educated, like, make sure that you don't have any issues. Like, getting thyroid checked is like, it's a blood test. It's not, and there's so many people that like didn't know they had thyroid issues until they went to the right doctor. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I'm not crazy. Oh, I'm not like, I don't have like, I don't have an issue losing weight. It was because I have a literal imbalance in my hormones, or I can't gain weight. And that's like another thing. Like, it just,
Or getting a second opinion, because not every doctor is going to treat your disease the same. And that's another thing that I try to explain to people, is there's slightly different, there's a different word, but like charts and like thresholds that people use, you know, to balance thyroid levels. And not every doctor is the same. So, which is a whole other like dumb thing that you have to worry about.
Yeah. So it's just know your body, know what's right for you. Always get second opinions. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. I'll send you the article later and I'll post it as well.
That's awesome.
And I wanted to do one other little shout out, not really a girl crush. Just there's a lot of countries that are going together right now to evacuate people in Afghanistan, and there's a ton of refugees that are going all across Europe and across the United States. And I think it's really cool how all of the countries are coming together to support people that are in need. Mm-hmm. And no matter what opinion or side you're on, it's human life that we're talking about. And it's just amazing to see all these people getting together to support them. And it's devastating and so sad, but it's also incredible that there's so many people getting evacuated. Mm-hmm. And
shout out to New Zealand for evacuating a ton of people this weekend. Anybody. They were just taking anybody.
Yep. Yeah. So it's just good to see that people come together for human life. So mm-hmm. That's all.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. I think we covered a lot of topics quickly.
Oh, gosh, sorry. That was very I don't wanna go into a deep convo this week. Yeah. I'm like, let's talk about tattoo artists, and then we're like, let's get heavy.
And cancer, all the world's problems.
Thyroid. And Afghanistan.
Anyway.
Oh, Lord. Anyways, on that note, have a good day, guys.
All right. We will catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening, because history is her story.
Bye.
Thank you to our dear friends Carly and Dylan Peterson for creating our theme song and show music. You can follow their band Valentine on Spotify and on social media at @ValentineTheBand. Visit our show description for sources and episode links. Email us at hello@girlpowerhistory.com and follow us on all social media platforms @girlpowerhistory. Girl Power History. History. Girl Power History.